Okay. Chapter 56. Unexpected Patronum. Colin Creevy dozed beside the fire in the common room. His heavy, steady breathing rose and fell in a regular rhythm over the rattling window beside the stairs. Creevy's head slipped off the corner of his chair, and he jolted upright. Harry caught his eye and pushed a whisper of magic at him. A faint impression of fading shock flitted through his thoughts. He turned to the fire, and the tenuous connection broke. Getting there.
You're not looking very ill.
Ill? That was too Bella.
You're not looking very ill.
Katie drifted down the staircase from the girls' dormitories and sat on the arm of Harry's chair. Nah, that's still the wrong tone.
You're not looking very ill.
Say it better, though.
You're not looking very ill.
Katie drifted down the staircase from the girls' dormitories and sat on the arm of Harry's chair.
That horrible sickness you picked up yesterday has mysteriously vanished.
Harry smiled. I found a cure. Fleur. The fire that had smoldered in her eyes flitted through his thoughts and his heart squirmed. Always Fleur.
I don't care!
That's in the text, ladies and gentlemen. What? I think it's just you. Can you guys hear me now? Probably, yeah.
Was it Frenchy medicine?
Katie waggled her eyebrows. No. Heat crept onto Harry's face, and he tried to smother the memories of Fleur's little gasps and moans beneath the willow tree. Katie pursed her lips.
Sure, Harry, whatever you say. Sure, Harry, whatever you say.
She wriggled further onto the arm of his chair and rested her arm on his shoulder.
I went to the hospital wing when Neville said you were sick, but you weren't there, and nobody had seen you since your lesson with McGonagall.
I might have gotten lost on the route to the hospital wing, Harry admitted.
Just be careful about getting caught disappearing off to France. Rita Skeeter hasn't written anything about you in almost a week, and she's probably desperate for another.
Katie gave him a gentle shove and lowered her voice.
How's it going with you and Frenchy anyway? You never say anything about her.
Because when people realize I have things, they always try to take them from me. I don't want anyone going after her because of me, especially Skeeter. Any girl she thinks is anywhere close to me is going to be on the front page for the next day.
Katie nodded. That must suck. If you're not telling people, she must still get hit on an awful lot. You'll both probably have to go on some fake dates at some point to...
And people will start to think it's weird. Harry smothered a twist of ugly heat and forced a smile. She's suspended for cursing someone right now, so I doubt anyone's hitting on her.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Harry crushed the shadow beside Fleur down somewhere he could no longer see it. Can't say I'd be all that happy with that.
At least you're not around to see it happening.
Katie tugged at her hair. Still, as long as the two of you are happy and safe, right?
Right.
She squirmed on the arm of his chair.
Since you were away, did you happen to read what Skeeter wrote in the absence of a story about you and Dumbledore?
No.
Since you were away, did you happen to read what... Since you were away, did you happen to read what Skeeter wrote in the absence of a story about you and Dumbledore?
No. No. He glanced up and met her eyes. Anything interesting?
Any dark marks? Or did they manage to cover it up completely?
Someone cast the dark mark over Godric's Hollow.
Katie lowered her voice to a whisper.
Alright, need to put a tally for Harry doing the who's he wants it to Creevy. Boop. And that's 5.
The Ministry are quoted as blaming Sirius Black because he's an escaped supporter of you know who. But Skeeter went a bit off the script after that point. She mentioned Black was last reported in Cyprus only 3 days ago, and that he never cast the dark mark after killing Peter Pettigrew.
Just enough to inspire doubt about the story, Harry frowned. Maybe someone at the Ministry upset her, and this is the only way she can get back at them.
Now this is this is making sense. Maybe Fudge forgot to pay her. There you go.
Maybe Fudge forgot to keep paying her or something.
Or she might just want more money. Or she might just want more money, Katie muttered. The interesting thing is that the Prophet got into trouble for revealing the details of a secret investigation, so Skeeter shouldn't have known about the Cyprus thing at all.
Harry laughed. I don't think she should know a lot of things that she writes.
She must know someone in the Department of Magical Law Enforcement.
She is very good at finding out secrets, isn't she? I wonder how she does it.
What else did the article say?
Not a great deal. It was only part of her column. There was a bit on the dark mark, but its heel must not be named person or symbol, and only cast... Oh.
There was a bit in the dark mark that it's he who must not be named's personal symbol, and only cast by members of his inner circle, some of whom have escaped Azkaban. She rubbed her chin, then slipped off the arm of the chair and wormed her way in beside Harry.
She speculated about why the mark might have been cast of the Godric's Hollow too.
My parents.
The Daily Prophet suggests it was Black taking credit for their deaths.
I suspect they'll never actually catch them, Sirius Black or not. They didn't manage to keep him in Azkaban, and they haven't found him in 2 years.
You don't seem all that concerned by it, Katie said. The dark mark was cast over your parents' house.
They died when I was a baby, Katie, and everyone knows who killed them. The house is just a memorial. I've never set foot inside it. There isn't really a good reason for me to care.
I'd rather they were casting big obvious pieces of magic in the sky than murdering people. Maybe they're only just getting started. Maybe they're only just getting started. Katie gestured at the handful of people who were making their way out through the portrait. It's DA time. It's DA time. Now, I will clarify, if you want to fuck with the doc, that's fine, just don't do it anywhere near where I'm at. Like, give me like a page or so a room. Have fun. Have fun. Harry pushed her out of his chair and onto the floor. Oh, no you don't, Harry. Katie pounced at him from the floor. You promised you were coming to this one. The Patronus, right. I did, didn't I? Might as well get it over and done with then. He dragged himself out of his chair, offering Katie a hand. She laughed and let him pull her to her feet. Such a gentleman. She went in close. No wonder Frenchie's so smitten. Which of the boy could hope to compete? Probably an awful lot of them. A little ball of cold tightened beneath his ribs. But Flewitt never wants any of them. They're not right for her. They're not right for her. He managed to chuckle. I do try. Katie shoved him toward the portrait and out onto the stairs. Come on, lover boy. You can daydream later. Harry! Ginny's voice came from right next to his ear. He winced as cold shock flooded through his veins. Ginny? She twisted her fingers together and stared at her feet, then took a deep breath and straightened up. I was wondering about something. Katie stepped out of the passage and onto Harry's back. Ow! Katie stepped out of the passage into Harry's back. Ow! I was wondering if he wanted to go to Hogsmeade next weekend. Ginny blurted. Harry grimaced. We talked about this, Ginny. I'm sorry I can't. You can't or you don't want to? Ginny asked. Both, he sighed. I don't want to keep leading you on, Ginny. I just don't see you like that, I'm afraid. Then why can't you go? Ginny threw a glance past him at Katie. Mad. Harry struggled for something plausible. He's busy, Katie said. Oh. Ginny glanced between them. I see. And I said to ask, Harry. I promised myself that I'd ask one more time, and if he said no, then I'd move on for good. Harry watched a spot of blue crawling along Ginny's shoulder. Okay. I see what you're doing. But what the fuck spot of blue would he be seeing that he wouldn't comment on? If I see something blue, and I would describe it to myself as crawling on someone's shoulder, I'd be like, hey, you got something on your shoulder. I mean, I would, but, like, that's me. Like, a spot of blue is far more interesting than
Yeah, I'm okay, baby. I don't know. It's just.
You have a water beetle in your hair, Hermione.
Yeah, like.
Fuck you. Hermonini.
Da.
Hermonini.
Oh, God. Boss baby. You legend. You fucking legend, boss baby.
Da. Da.
Harry watched a spot of blue crawling along Ginny's shoulder. I am sorry, Ginny. I don't think you'd enjoy dating me right now, anyway. Not least because Fleur would murder both of us. There are plenty of other guys who'd be lucky to be with you, Katie added. Ginny's eyes flashed. Just not the one I want. I'll see you at the meeting, Harry. I'll see you at the meeting, Harry. She turned on her heel and stalked away. The spot of blue drifted off her shoulder and away down the staircase.
Like, okay, hang on. Why don't you just call it a beetle? It's not unclear what you're doing, and it wouldn't. But it sounds like you're saying it such that we don't know. Like, I think that's the reason I think it's weird that Harry isn't commenting on it, because if he just sees a spot of blue and I don't notice what it, like, I'm like, what's that that's blue? I would at least think to myself what it is, because blue's a weird thing to see moving around. But if I just see a beetle, if he sees a beetle and he doesn't care, you know, you're not fooling the audience here by just... It sounds like you're trying to go for something with it, though. It sounds like you're either trying to fool people, or he's just seeing random blue spots in front of his face and doesn't think that's something he might... You know, he just did, like, the eye ritual. If I was seeing random blue spots that I didn't know what they were, I'd be like, hey, Salazar, I'm seeing random blue spots. You know, like... If you ask me, just say fucking beetle. It's distracting, is what it is. Yes. This is pickup. This is shit-eating grin pickup. Harry
watched a blue beetle crawling along Ginny's shoulder.
And pickup.
The blue beetle drifted off her shoulder and away down the staircase.
I mean, you're already killing all my favorite characters anyway, so it's whatever, you know? You're not going to kill Gabby. Yeah, not really, especially in terms of voices that I really, really like to do. I know that all those characters are going to fucking die. Yeah, that means you've done your job. Well, okay, these are my favorite characters in Academy and Victory, both in terms of, like, when I read the story, and also in terms of how much I like doing their voices. Okay, Katie, Salazar, Victor, and Nymphadora Tonks. It's like... I think it'd be cool if he kept Tonks alive, but, like, I mean, Tonks is just my favorite Harry Potter character anyway, but, like, yeah. Well, I mean, I just think Tonks might have really good potential for Leth's Lament, you know, but I don't know how that's gonna go. Yeah? Yeah, all of my favorite characters, like, they already die. Like, you can't keep Salazar alive. That doesn't fucking work. You can't keep Katie alive either, you know? Yeah, Luna isn't a character in this story. No, it was the chapter was too good. The chapter was too good. It's like Tonks appears and then it just works so fucking well. Yeah, well, no, fuck you. Tonks didn't like crawl back into the fucking closet and, like, cishead her way into a fucking, you know, like, Christ Jesus on the cross. She was so fucking gay-coded. She is so queer-coded. Not even necessarily gay-coded, just queer-coded, you know? Even like Inverarity, like, says that Tonks got done dirty, and Inverarity is one of the first people to defend Rowling, just because kind of someone has to is sort of his and a lot of the well, okay, not as a person, but He is right that a lot of the criticisms people direct at Rowling's writings aren't fair or don't fucking matter, you know? Now, I don't think the books are well written. I don't think the books are well written at all, but a lot of the criticisms people bring up are not the right ones, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of the ideas, especially as the canon series goes on, a lot of the ideas are shit. Oh, sure. Yeah. 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 And when she's good at writing, she's good at writing. It doesn't happen often, especially not in Harry Potter, but the Pensive Chapter. Not the Pensive Chapter. I misspoke. The Mirror of Erised chapter. Fuck you, it's good. You're a piece of shit. Listen. You are so goddamn picky. You're so goddamn picky. Yeah, but you're looking, I think you're looking just like with Alexandra Quick. Just like with Alexandra Quick, you're looking at the writing in terms of like your opinion is informed by the tweaks you're trying to make to your own writing, which isn't a bad way to look at things, but there are other kinds of writing that are also good, like, you know. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can totally grok that then. So you're looking at everything very critically just because you can't help it because you're a writer. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy things. Although it probably does mean in some cases that you can't enjoy things. But yeah. 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 There you go. That's one of the things I love about fan fiction is a lot of times, like, it's like the win condition for fan fiction varies wildly between author, you know, and a lot of it is just to have fun writing it or just to have it be fun to read. And that is very achievable by a lot of people. He was reading it like it was Cadmian, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Going back to rolling for a moment, we should be recording you as well with this. This is great content. But like, you know, I'll always go back to like, everyone's like, galleons don't make sense, so the story sucks. Doesn't fucking matter. I even said that on Lee's podcast the other day. Like it's like a lot of the world building stuff. There are big world building problems in Harry Potter. Yes, there are, but like, weirdly enough, for the most part, not the ones that get brought up, you know, like, because world building isn't about creating an airtight situation. It's about drawing the reader's attention away from the things that are not airtight, you know, like, well, that's the thing. There are two major schools of thought on world building, and one of it is like Tolkienian hard world building, and then there's the Miyazaki soft world building. There's a YouTube video I watched about that, but it's like it is valid to tell stories, and the world building just like isn't fucking there, and it's just like. Right, you know, yeah. That's the thing. Like Tolkien, I think the thing that's best about his writing is the world building, and I don't mean that is a slight. No, and he never even claims to be, really. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I just got a big. No, disagree. No. No. That, but asterisk, okay? This is, I think, J.K. Rowling's biggest flaw as a writer. She has bigger flaws as a fucking person. But her biggest flaw as a writer is that she has the thinnest fucking skin in the world. And, like, specifically, there are so many times in the later book, starting around 4, where you see that she has written, she'll do a little world building aside, and she'll explain something that doesn't need to be explained, because you know that she's anticipating someone going, well, why is this the this?
You know, what about that? And she's just putting it on there, like, because to forestall that. Yeah, she justifies. And then the problem with that. No, this. I know. But it goes further than this. Let me get this out. It goes further than this, because then the problem with that is that when she starts justifying that way, that makes the reader begin to expect things to at least attempt to make sense. And that's not one of her theses. She's not setting out to do that, but she briefly pretends to be setting out to do that. And then it really is like somewhat constant, and she's just being so reactive to the criticism she's expecting to get, and she's being really defensive, and that puts people in the mind of focusing on the world building. And then I think that's where a lot of fan fiction comes from, is the world, and also like the characters are garbage starting at like book four and going on. The characters are fucking garbage, but like you'll get like everyone wants to fix it because it looks like it's trying to fix itself as it goes, and it's doing a really bad fucking job. Do you think she knows how reviled she actually is these days? Yeah, like, I don't think that she does. Another thing. Yeah, like the Golden Trio and also Eddie Redmayne. Yeah. Hagrid. You know, I don't blame Lynch for that, because Lynch owes her goddamn life to Rowling. Like Lynch is the one genuinely, unambiguously, completely good thing Rowling's ever done. You know? Yeah. No, Hagrid came out in support. Hagrid came out in support, yeah. No, Hagrid came out in support of Rowling. Yeah, I think he did. Now, I just heard that. I could be wrong. I'm going to look it up. No, I'm not either. I didn't go looking for it. It was so fucking depressing when it happened. Like, it's not like we didn't know, but it's like for her to have the balls to be like, no, I'm proud of it. Also, I'm not this way. I'm gonna write a 25 page essay on it was a 2,000 word essay about why she is transphobic, called "Why I'm Not Transphobic." Yeah. Robbie Coltrane, trans rights. Let's see. Okay, let me see what. Okay, so the headline here is Harry Potter star Robbie Coltrane defends J.K. Rowling in transgender right, rights rabbi, but let me see what he actually said. So he said... Oh, no, yeah, okay. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability to many to meaningfully discuss their lives, as if that's what anyone was trying to fucking do. Like, I don't fucking know, let me see. Holy shit, he's 71. Yeah. Yeah. In my head, someone's biological sex is in my head at all times. And I have to push against that. It just is. And, like, it's weird to me. Although, I love it when I don't know. Like, if I know someone online, like, there are people I've talked to online that even, like, in voice chat, and I don't know their biological sex. And I like that because, you know, it's whatever. I don't have to have it in my head. It's just, like, intrusive, you know. I just know it and I have to remind myself every time. And it's just stupid. It's just dumb brain. Like... Like, I don't know, I haven't actually listened to all of my podcasts with Lee, but I did accidentally misgender Sakiko at one point, and I just was like, cut that, and I just like reset it with the right one. I don't know that getting someone's pronouns right earns you a beer, but fair enough. Oh yeah. Oh, I have trouble remembering sex pronouns. Like, it just, I don't talk to sect enough, you know, like I know what they are. I don't think about sect enough. We're rolling. Okay. Okay, I know I did staircase. All right. That could have gone worse, Harry muttered. I thought she was over her infatuation with heroes. Could have gone better, too, Kitty murmured. Did you see how she looked at us? Harry raised an eyebrow. With her eyes? She thinks the reason you can't go with her is me. Katie said. Oh. Exactly, Katie muttered. Do you think she'll tell anyone? Harry asked. Will she talk to her friends about why she's upset of you turning her down? Katie shook her head. Sometimes, Harry, you're very perceptive, but otherwise, I wonder if you understand girls at all. I don't, Harry grinned at her. You're all weird. You're all weird. The first take was fine, actually. Tell that to Finchie, she sniped. And speaking of, Harry's heart sank. If Ginny tells people, everyone will start believing it.
flare may kill me. Do you think anyone will believe it? He asked. Pink crept onto Katie's cheeks. Well, not to put too fine a point on it, Harry, but we are close friends and we do have a history.
Merde.
Ah. But we are close friends and we do have history.
Merde.
Merde wasn't a thought. Also, the first take of Merde was better.
Flair will definitely kill me if she thinks...
Oh, and this is a thought.
Flair will definitely kill me if she learns everyone thinks I'm dating Katie.
Aw.
Katie patted him on the cheek. You've started picking up cute, fancy words.
That's not a very cute word. He scowled and hurried up the stairs. I'll have to tell Jenny we're not a thing at the DA before she talks to anyone.
You aren't going to tell her about Frenchie, are you?
Katie bounced after him and caught his wrist.
I thought you were keeping her a secret.
I won't tell anyone about Fleur who doesn't already know. If she asks, I guess I just won't answer.
She won't believe you.
Kitty caught his eye and shrugged.
I wouldn't. It sounds fishy.
It's Fleur hearing about it that concerns me. Ginny will get over it. Her fingers slipped from his arm.
Right, of course.
She glanced away.
You could always swear an unbreakable vow to Frenchie that we're just friends. It's not like we're actually doing anything.
Harry contemplated it.
It's dangerous, but I suppose I'd rather do that than have her misunderstand and leave.
You'd rather permanently bind your life and magic to her than have her upset at you.
Katie stared at him. That's very committed, Harry.
I don't know that there's any other way to interpret this, but I just want to make sure. Katie's genuinely taken aback at that, right? Yeah, like, because he kind of thinks they're just joking around, but she's like, wait, the fuck? Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it also says a lot about Fleur as well. Like, she doesn't know that really, but it's like, Harry's terrified to lose her. And Fleur, like, she wouldn't ask that of him, but she wouldn't think it was crazy either, you know? They're great. I love them.
He flushed and stepped toward the door on the seventh floor. Hush, you. He's so sweet, Katie giggled. Clearly I'm a lucky girl.
As if I'd date a violent Quidditch fanatic like you again.
She pouted at him. We both know you'd be more than happy to see me in that seashell bra. A little gleam welled up in her eyes. Or not in the seashell bra.
Harry paused with one hand on the door.
We should probably not make jokes like that for a bit.
Kitty's lips twisted.
Fine. I'll hold back when there are gullible idiots nearby.
Harry offered her a smile. Thanks, Katie.
You can still make as many silly jokes about us as you like when there's nobody listening.
He pushed the door open.
I'll hold you to that, Kitty murmured in his ear.
Ah, the teacher arrives. Cedric waved everyone else back against the wall with his wand. Neville was beginning to fear you weren't coming.
I promised I would, Harry said.
The members of the DA watched him with wary eyes. Hermione rocked back and forth on her heels, tapping her wand against his palm. All right, let's get on with it then.
Harry strode forward into the...
Harry strode forward into the... Harry strode forward into the middle of the room. The Patronus charm is more advanced than anything else you'll likely be learning at Hogwarts in defense. It creates a partially tangible form of positive emotion and it creates a partially tangible form of positive emotion and intent. It creates a partially tangible form of positive emotion and intent. The steps are relatively simple. You need only focus on a positive emotion and speak the incantation, but having the ability to cast it is another thing entirely. Harry spread his hands to indicate they should move apart from each other. Can anyone produce a Patronus of any sort? He glanced at Cedric. Nope, Cedric shook his head. If I knew how, you wouldn't have nearly died when Dementors interrupted our Quidditch game in third. I can! Hermione jumped forward. That was way too shrill. Hang on. I can! Hermione jumped forward. It's not a proper one like yours, but... It's not a proper one like yours, but I can cast it. Harry stifled the urge to roll his eyes. Show everyone. Hermione raised her wand, glowing pink with pride, and closed her eyes. Expecto Patronum. A rush of silver vapor shot from her wand to form a shining shield between her and Harry. A rush of silver vapor shot from her wand to form a shining shield between her and Harry.
Damn it to hell.
A rush of silver vapor shot from her wand to form a shining shield between her and Harry. That's very impressive, Harry said. Self-taught, I presume?
Yes.
How long have you been trying? All the way since the end of third year, when you realized I could do it? She flushed and shuffled her feet.
Yes, sorry, Harry.
You heard the incantation, Harry said. You heard the incantation, Harry said. Hermione pronounced it perfectly. Focus on the happiest memory you have, or imagine something that will make you happier still, then cast.
Which do you use? Ginny asked.
Whichever comes easiest, Harry lied. I've not tried. Not since the maze.
Can you show us yours? Cedric asked.
Matt.
He pictured his parents in the mirror of Erised, but Fleur's figure crept in between them in the ancient silver surface.
Expecto Patronum.
A bright cloud of silver vapor burst from its tip, hovering in the air in front of him. The vapor twisted and churned on itself like smoke caught in the wind.
I thought you said you could form a corporeal Patronus. I thought you said you could form a corporeal Patronus, Smith said.
He can, Ron said. We all saw it at Quidditch in our third...
He can,
Ron said. We all saw it at Quidditch in our third year when Malfoy tried to pretend to be a Dementor.
Stacks don't have feathers,
Terry Boot called out. Harry's gaze snapped back to the mist. The tips of ghost-like feathers shivered at the edges of the mist, flaring as if to catch the wind. The tips of ghost-like feathers shivered at the edges of the vapor, flaring as if to catch the wind. Best not let them see what form it has. He dispelled it. A Patronus takes on a corporeal form that is unique to the caster, Hermione recited. A corporeal Patronus generally takes the shape of the animal the caster shares the deepest affinity with. I retook the line. What are you talking about?
He probably doesn't want us to see what it is. Smith sneered. It's likely a snake. It's likely a snake.
With feathers?
Terry Boot shot Smith a scathing look. Smith muttered something under his breath and shuffled back into the crowd.
It's changed.
Hermione stared at Harry.
A corporeal Patronus only changes when the caster has been through a dramatic emotional upheaval. The book said things like loss, love, and betrayal have all caused changes in Patronuses.
Thanks, Hermione.
Perhaps you should all try casting your own versions now.
Harry slipped his wand back up his sleeve.
As entertaining as listening to Hermione's version of the textbook is, you're here to learn how to cast it, not guess which feathered creature mine is.
The Dementors are unlikely to be stopped from taking your souls because you know the form of my Patronus. The members of the DA split up and began to cast. A few wisps of silver shot from a scattered handful of wands to disperse into the air.
Pick your happiest memory and let yourself really feel it.
Harry took a seat on the floor nearby Nev and Katie. Or if that doesn't work, choose something that would make you happy and use that. He already said that, man. What? Yeah, you could just cut the line and just have him... He sat down next to the fucking thing. It was, you heard the incantation, is where it is. Okay, I'll make him sound like, yeah, it doesn't not make sense for him to say anything. I'll have him not sound like he's not saying something, or, yeah, he's saying, whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Pick your happiest memory and let yourself really feel it.
Harry took a seat on the floor nearby Nev and Katie. Or if that doesn't work, imagine something that would make you happy and use that. Katie shot Harry a glance, then closed her eyes and returned to casting. Silver mist gushed from her wand, growing tight and dense a meter from its tip. Harry watched it coalesce into the form of a crow. She pouted.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
Fred laughed and pointed it out to his twin. But that explains a lot.
Oh, great dark mistress, George said.
Well done for being the first. Harry surveyed the room. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, is that because she's... Well, yeah, but I'm not sure I understand it. That's because she's in love with Harry, right? Well, yes, but... How does she know that he has an affinity with crows? We find that out later in the story... But, like, does magic, like, capital M magic, know that Harry's, like, Animagus form is a Patronus? Or is a crow, and then it, like, funnels that into Katie's Patronus? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yes.
Your Patronus has changed form.
It's weak. Yeah. Fucking fuck everything to do with that plot line. Just going back to where I am now. Fucking... Oh, yes.
Harry surveyed the room. Cedric, Hermione, and Neville look like they're getting fairly close now, too. A silver badger formed from Cedric's wand and patrolled a small circle around his feet. He shot Harry a rueful grin. It was inevitable that it'd be a badger, wasn't it? Badgers are actually violent, vicious creatures. Harry eyed the silver Patronus. Yours looks like a spaniel in cosplay.
Did that word exist back then? I don't think it did.
Fine.
Oh my god. Fucking idiot. Okay. Yeah.
Bit harsh, Cedric laughed, but probably fair. They absolutely ravaged Dad's lawn. Worse than gnomes, apparently.
No. When you use a word like that as a name, you capitalize it.
Yeah, if you say like my dad, you don't capitalize it. I think you probably could capitalize it, but you don't like. It would be correct not to.
I don't remember whether I got the line, but probably fair. They absolutely ravaged Dad's lawn, worse than gnomes apparently.
A silver otter chattered and scampered around Hermione's feet. Appropriate enough. I knew she'd get it soon. A faint pang rippled through Harry's chest as he drew Ginny aside. A little flicker of something that might have been hope passed through her eyes.
What a fucking prick! She's trying to be happy!
Harry? I'm not with Katie. He swallowed a bitter lump. I'm not with anyone. I just don't want to have to listen to all the rumors. Katie doesn't need that.
Is she why your Patronus changed? From before the Yule Ball?
I don't think so. Harry shrugged. I felt like a lot of people turned on me then. Loss and betrayal. Not love, then, Ginny murmured. Almost certainly. Harry smothered a small smile. Fleur's blue eyes and slight pout hovered in his thoughts. A soft pain twisted beneath his ribs. And I'm stuck here instead of being with her. Definitely not, he said.
I wasn't going to tell anyone, Ginny said. I might have told my friends that I thought you were with someone else, but I thought you and Katie were trying to keep it a secret and just act like you were friends.
We are just friends. Ginny glanced past his shoulder.
I think she knows what we're talking about. I should keep practicing.
Harry caught Katie's eye. She beamed and gave him a... Harry caught Katie's eye. She beamed and gave him a thumbs up. A gleaming silver wolf padded around Neville, nuzzling at his wand hand with its muzzle.
Interesting.
Harry waved to Katie and drifted away toward the door in the chamber. I wonder what mine is. I wonder what mine is.
Metal?
He paused before the puddle. Harry! She shot out of the wall and twirled on the spot. I had visitors at lunchtime yesterday. First years or maybe second. They were very small. They wanted to know if there was anything special about the bathroom. Did they decide on anything? A tight knot coiled in his stomach. If they keep coming back, I might not be able to get out to see Fleur. They never found anything, but nobody who comes here does.
If they come back, please tell me, Myrtle, Harry asked. You don't know how important it is to me that the entrance remains a secret.
I'll tell you, Harry. I always know when someone's in here. I can feel it.
Thanks. He shot her a smile. I appreciate it, Myrtle.
That's okay, Harry.
She fiddled with her wire-framed glasses.
Come visit me whenever you want.
I'll do my best to say hi. Harry turns to the sink.
Open. Open.
He hurried down the steps and through to the top of the bridge. Mother, I'm home, he called.
Welcome back, darling.
Salazar pried his snake off his forehead.
Are you here to learn something useful, or are you off to France again?
I was wondering what you knew about the Patronus charm. Mine appears to have changed. Salazar peered down at him.
Changed?
I used to be a stag, then I was almost unable to cast it, and now it seems to be something feathered. Though I haven't cast a complete corporeal charm yet.
That's interesting. The charm's very old. It's one of the obvious emotion-related concepts of magic, but very hard to produce despite it. My own Patronus changed form twice for different reasons.
Interesting. I wonder if they're... Interesting. I wonder if there are any similarities. When did it change? Harry asked.
If you wanted to know why, you could have just asked, Salazar said. He was originally a regular serpent, but when I met my wife and we had our daughter, it changed and became a runespore. I was very proud of it.
His expression darkened.
After my wife's death and the beginning of my quest to try and undo the sacrifice I made, it changed again, shifting to the form of a moth. It remained a moth until I stopped being able to cast it.
You stopped being able to cast it?
You said you were almost unable to cast it. When was that?
Would Salazar not specify the species of snake for the first time? Like, wouldn't he know? Wouldn't that, like, matter to him? Well, he's asking Salazar about it changing forms. That makes sense, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
In the maze during the third task, Harry thought back. It wasn't the best time for me. Not much was going well. Even happy memories and thoughts didn't really reach me.
Then you already know why.
Salazar's smile was thin and bitter.
I told you that those who commit themselves to escaping death are consumed by their quest. Are consumed by their quest. And by the end of my life, everything else had lost meaning, and had all but given up. My happiest memories were tainted.
I see.
You have Fleur Delacour. You have Fleur Delacour now. So cast the charm and show me.
Harry closed his eyes. I actually like that read. He reached back for the warmth of the sun through the willow leaves, the quiet sound of the river and the wind in the grass, the sweet scents of marzipan, the taste of Fleur's lips, the blue of her eyes. That's what I said. The sweet scent of marzipan, the taste of Fleur's lips, the blue of her eyes, the silver of her hair, the slight curve of her pout, and the softness in her eyes when she stared at him. Perfect, as she always is.
You didn't say silver of her hair.
Expecto Patronum, he murmured. Heat rushed up his arm from his wand, and a great eagle burst forth in an explosion of silver vapor. It spread its wings wide and eyed Harry's surroundings with fierce intelligence. An eagle?
That's not an eagle, Harry.
Salazar's green eyes softened, and the corner of his mouth crooked.
That is an Anzu, a giant bird supposedly capable of... A giant bird supposedly capable of magically breathing fire. They went extinct millennia ago, and are only found in the oldest stories of Mesopotamia, their homeland.
An extinct fire-breathing eagle, Harry grinned. I like it.
A new Patronus would... A new Patronus with the form of an ancient magic... A new Patronus with the form of an ancient Mesopotamian magical bird. Do you know where the first Vila are supposed to have come from? I don't think it's any mystery what caused this change.
I like my eagle. Is that really why that's... No. Is that really why it's that form? Because of Fleur?
He's an Anzu. Most eagles would disappear under its wings. And it seems that way. Mine changed because I found my wife. Then when I lost her.
Semicolon after way. Or period capital, I think, actually is better.
And it seems that way. Mine changed because I found my wife then when I lost her. Elga's never changed from a phoenix. Rowena's was already an owl, and Godric's Patronus was a griffin for as long as I knew him. But he mentioned it changed when his parents died.
It's actually that large in real life. Harry stared at the wingspan for a moment. You know, I sort of expected the other Founder's Patronuses to be the same as the House Sigils.
They were extinct long before I was alive.
Salazar shrugged, displacing his snake.
But the corporeal form of your Patronus takes on the exact shape of the animal, as far as I understand, so probably...
He peered down at Harry as he picked his serpent back up.
And why would you assume we would give away so much information about ourselves when choosing House Sigils? Rowena chose a bird famous for its intelligence. I chose the serpent because nobody would expect anything else from me. Godric wanted to choose a griffin, but I told him that would look vain, so he chose half a griffin instead. And Elga just liked badgers. She thought they were adorable.
Harry sighed. That completely ruins the image of the four...
That completely ruins my image of the four of you being the perfect embodiment of your house's traits.
Rowena's is fairly accurate, Salazar said. Mine too. Godric would have hated the students in his house if what I've heard from you is true. He valued bravery, loyalty, and forgiveness above all else.
What about Helga?
She loved children. Helga spoiled every child she met. Her nieces and nephews adored her more than they did their parents. It wouldn't matter which house you were in to her. It wouldn't matter which house you were in to her as long as she could mother you.
I wonder how Slytherin ended up having such a bad reputation. Salazar let out a short, bitter laugh.
The blame lies partly with myself and partly with the trait. The blame lies partly with myself and partly with the traits I valued. Ambition, cunning, intelligence, and bravery can all be used to do terrible things. But while bravery can be foolish and intelligence misapplied, cunning can only really be outdone by others. It did not help that I dabbled greatly in dangerous magic in the final years of my life. That would have attracted a great many wizards and witches of questionable morals to my house.
Like Tom Riddle, Harry muttered.
He was nearly sorted into both Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff, actually. His ambition outweighed his desire for knowledge and the loyalty he felt toward a world that accepted him when his did not. But only just.
A strange sort of sadness settled over Harry like a thick, soft blanket. If only the magical world hadn't turned its back on him like the Muggle one.
If he'd chosen either of Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff, it might not have done. But his desire was too strong, and he did. There's little point regretting it now. I watched him change from Tom Riddle to Voldemort with pride and said nothing, not realizing how much he'd lost from himself in his becoming until it was too late.
Could you have stopped him before he changed? Could you have stopped him before he changed too much? Harry picked the time turner off the desk and tugged a thick tome on prophecies off the shelf behind him. If you'd known, that is.
I believe so.
Salazar stared down at Harry. Shadows clustered in the portrait's eyes, deep and dark as dusk.
I hope so.
Probably the first take was best. End of chapter 56.
You sure don't want to have it be like Salazar staring down at Harry's back? Like, that's the image, right? Like Harry's going about his business, getting books off the shelf, reading them, you know? Yeah. So should I say stared down at Harry's back? Okay. Yeah. No. It isn't unclear. Yeah. I deliberately had Harry both not really being emotionally engaged in what Salazar was saying, and I had him be like the riddliest he's been so far. And I don't know if that came across, but that's what I was trying to do. Yeah. Did you hear me? I started saying, could you have stopped him before he changed too much? You know, like, and then I was like, no. Harry's not listening to this. You know, like that. This. The end of this chapter is not about Harry. It's about Salazar. You know. Yeah, Salazar knows that he might. Yeah, he knows it might. He might be fucking up. Like I think that Salazar is significantly not without blame for all of this, because it's like, you know, it's like, I thought I could teach him as well as Yoda. I was wrong. You know, like only it's like, it was specifically because of, like, your teachings reinforced the worst things about him. You know, like, Voldemort was about 50% at least your fault. You know, and he doesn't, I think he's just lonely, right? He's just lonely and he's trying to convince himself that he is part of this for Salazar, him trying to make up for Tom. Is he just doing it because it's fun? Okay, yeah. Yeah, they're both broken. Yeah, I guess he set himself up. You're only gonna find the Chamber of Secrets if you're fucked up anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Is the portrait sentient? Is the portrait sentient? Is the portrait sentient? I mean, okay. When is it him? Is the portrait Salazar's soul? Okay, so this is not the original Salazar. See, the thing that's odd to this is that the reason I ask is because Harry is able to pull this Salazar out of the stone. And I wonder how that works. Yeah. So, like Harry could have pulled real Salazar out of the stone, and he wouldn't have known Harry, right? Yes. Oh, right, because you can't pull people that you didn't know out of the stone. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you're using, actually, that is directly the, that's the same tweak that Methods of Rationality makes to it, actually. Which is like, it's one of the good tweaks. It is one of the good tweaks, yeah. It's so stupid. It's stupid in the story. It is the dumbest Hallow. Yeah. Like, I get... Okay, I can almost forgive the wand just because, like, she needed that MacGuffin for Voldemort to follow. Like, that's why Voldemort wants it, because it's strong. I get that. But it's, like, the stone that could just let you talk to the... If you could talk to the people that are dead and they're not dead! That's what dead means! How do you have this fucking theme built up? And he's like, oh, death is good. And it's like, there's so many ways for people to get around being dead in Harry Potter, you know? Yeah. There's like, oh yeah, let me stop.